Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Thanks for joining us for Between the Ropes. Brian Fritz along with, that's right, Michael Wiseman is back, everybody.
Hey.
After a little hiatus, so hey. He is finally back here on the podcast. We appreciate everybody for joining in. Don't forget, while you're watching us, please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Just click that button. Feel free to like us and share our videos. And we've got the chat room going so you can take part in the conversation. You can also leave questions on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/betweentheropes. And also a big shout out to everybody that is supporting us on Patreon. If you're not doing it, and if you can do it, please, please do it. Just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. Even $1 a month goes a long way in helping us out. Basically, we do these videos, you know, five times a month. It's 20 cents a video. Plus, we do other podcasts and things on the website. So, like I said, even a dollar a month goes a long way. But if you could do more than that, thumbs up to you. So let's get into Raw from tonight. Or even before we do that, because, Michael, you've been away. I almost forgot about this. So do you have a beverage with you tonight? I mean, I know you're trying to do your damnedest to get the ladies because you got an extra button undone there.
I have no beverage with me right now. I've been too busy watching the Panthers game, being a complete nervous wreck because apparently we're still trying to give this game to the Colts for whatever reason.
Is that why the extra button is undone? Because you're worried and you're getting a little warm? Or is it, you know?
It's a little bit toasty over here being a Panthers fan. But
right,
we are going to win, it looks like. So I do want to say, I wasn't here last week, had a few other things going on, but I still keep up with you, right? I still keep up with the Between the Ropes. It's still very close to me. And I go on and I read these things about people trash talking me about how negative I am. I want you to know something. I'm not negative. And if you think I'm negative, then you're negative, okay? And you're a piece of crap, okay? Said it. Whoever you are, and to the other commenter who wanted us to upload the full copy of WWE Hell in a Cell 2015, just go get the network. It's not a free time show. This is the Wiseman and Brian and Wiseman comedy hour. That's what we do here. So
yeah, that was not going to happen, people. So we don't do that. So I thought when you were really talking about, I thought when you were talking about keeping up on stuff, you were going to sit here and go, hot damn, how did you get that interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, my favorite superstar of all time, for Fox Sports? And did you mention me? And by the way, I did not when I talked to Steve.
Right. Well, I didn't gather that. But my bigger question is, did you mention how close we were to him at the 2K event back in August and how he just snobbed us?
That did not come up in the conversation. That did not.
Snubbed, right?
Yeah, it was snubbed.
You snub people. You don't snob them. You're a snobber because you're a hobsnobbing, but you don't snub.
I did not mention that to Steve. And this was an interview that I had been talking with Steve about doing since August of 2014. And finally, the stars aligned. And I was able to talk to Steve, and I was able to do it for not only the Between the Ropes podcast, and everybody can listen to that. You can go to BetweenTheRopes.com, or you can check out all of our podcasts, not only on the website, but also on our SoundCloud page. And so you can listen to it. And also, I have part of it written up in a nice little article on FoxSports.com.
Okay, so better question then. Since we know your history with Stone Cold, did you delete the podcast in the middle of it?
I did not.
You recorded it.
I did. I recorded it. Everything went great. It's funny because I'm recording it at my home, you know, my little home studio. And I've had this happen to me once or twice where I've done interviews and either during it or right afterwards before I can save the file, the power is going out of my house. It hasn't happened recently, but that's happened a couple of times. So, I was hoping I didn't have the curse of Stone Cold, but everything came out great. Everything worked out great.
Good. Wait, while we're plugging stuff, I know we're plugging things, plugging the podcast, plugging the stuff you've been doing. Got one more thing to plug. Check it out tomorrow. I have not just been absent, amiss in the Bermuda Triangle. I've been doing stuff. Brian has locked me away for the last week since we got a review copy of WWE 2K16, and I'm going to keep saying that right, WWE 2K16. since we got that in last Monday. Been locked away in the Between the Ropes game review chamber, plugging away at it, coming up with stuff for it. It will be live tomorrow. So if you want to know my thoughts on WWE 2K16, they're not going to be negative like that one guy thinks that I do. I always say negative things. Some things might be negative. Some things might be positive. But tune in to the written review. It's not a video. It's a written review to find out what I think about this year's WWE game.
I'll be very interested in seeing that because IGN gave it a very high review. I believe they said, because last year they didn't give the game a very high review, but this year's game, I believe they gave an 8.8 out of 10.
Yeah, and just as a sneak peek, I think they were a little bit generous.
Ooh.
But I'm not going to be negative. Wow. Not going to be negative.
Wow. Maybe you just haven't played enough Stone Cold mode yet.
I mean, we've had Stone Cold modes in like all the games in the last 4 or 5 years. So, oh, sorry, not going to be negative. Not going to be. It's fantastic game. It's an 11 out of 10. There you go.
11 out of 10. You heard it here. Whoops. So, speaking of an 11 out of 10, I know that your thoughts about Raw tonight was 11 out of 10. Correct?
I've watched 11 out of 10 Raws too many lately. That's what it feels like. I'm not gonna be negative.
I know you don't want to be negative in anything. We will talk all about Raw, but during the last hour of the show, you and I were texting back and forth. And what were your overall thoughts? I'll let you share because I know what they are, but share your overall thoughts in those texts to me.
Okay, so we can back the train up a little bit. I wasn't on last Monday's Raw review. There's another Monday in there that I wasn't here for. I've been traveling a lot, so maybe that skews my perception here. I've been going to some conferences. Raw has been one of those shows that I'm about done watching. It's not particularly bad. It's just not very good. And if there are weeks of Raw that I can literally skip and not miss anything, something's wrong with your product. So, I think I'm just going to give up on Raw. I'm going to switch over.
And by the way, I am shocked by those comments, considering that tonight your boys, the Usos, were back in the main event.
Okay. So I would have missed that, which it was pretty awesome seeing them back, even though the pyro guy couldn't get the timing right. Secondly,
I can just imagine that when they came out, you stood up and they were going, when I say, ooh, you say, oh, and you were like, yeah, ooh, so, wow.
That was it, man. That's why I used to have a beer, and then I would woo, and it just went everywhere.
Did you break out the bright orange Uso shirt that I know you finally got?
I've not gotten one yet, but I am very tempted. I love the Usos, but I'm very,
Christmas
very...
Christmas is right around the corner.
You're right. I'm super tempted to get the New Day shirt because it is freaking fantastic.
Unicorn?
Yes, yes. And yep. That's it, brother.
Got to get that unicorn, man.
You got to love, not only do they have the unicorn on their shirt, but they reference the last unicorn in their little promo tonight. Those guys are fantastic. I praise them every week. They just get better and better and better, and I freaking love them to death. Best act in WWE today.
So you were talking about how you haven't been enthralled by Raw. And for the most part, I would agree with you. But I thought last week's show was a really good show. I thought that it had a purpose. I thought they cut out a lot of the filler when it came to the really long promos. And the show had a purpose to name a number one contender. And it was Roman Reigns. And they had a lot of really good wrestling matches on there. Nothing that was too long, but good, solid stuff. This week's show, I would say, was a notch down. But I would not say the show was bad. I thought there was a lot of good wrestling in there again. The main event I thought was pretty darn good, you know, with the Survivor Series traditional elimination match at 5-on-5, the four-way to name the number one contender for the Divas Championship I thought was really good as well. So we got some good wrestling. Cesaro against The Miz, there was nothing wrong with that. And by the way, a little spoiler maybe, and I'm not trying to jinx anything, they might actually be trying to push Cesaro a little bit. I'm not trying to jinx anything, but Cesaro might actually be getting a little bit of a push. And I thought the match between Sheamus and King Barrett against the Lucha Dragons was actually a really good match too.
Yeah, I think there were some good matches. And I think part of the problem becomes when there are so many good matches, at some point, you just start becoming desensitized to having these really good weekly matches and nothing is special. And I'm not downplaying great wrestling. I'm just downplaying the way it's given to us. When every Monday Night Raw There's 3 hours of great matches with mid-card talent, and the storylines around them are just meh. That's when I feel like wrestling has lost its way. But I think there were good matches. That main event was a lot of fun. That Survivor Series-esque Survivor Series match, I liked it. I dug it.
Well, how much is it that it's not that you're, like you said, you're not against really good wrestling. Obviously, you want to see good wrestling on the show. But I think what's needed to go along with it are two things. Number one, strong storylines so that people get a little bit more of an emotional attachment. And the other thing is, too, getting a reaction from the audience. It's one thing to have a really good match, but it's another to get the crowd to bite, to really get involved. And that's something that I don't think we got a lot tonight. I mean, the crowd in Denver was there sometimes, but not there all the time.
Yeah.
There was one match in particular. Who was it? I'm not even looking at my notes. I have to look real quick. But R-Truth, he faced Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio,
yep. Got some pretty good offense in.
That was crickets for that match.
Yep. I think part of that's Del Rio. I think when you – Del Rio is back, and that's great. I still think he's just one of those people he only – he draws, but only with certain audiences, only at certain times. You know what I mean? I think He's just not universal.
By the way, I aspire to have a tan like Alberto Del Rio. By the way, shame on you, folks of Denver, Colorado, at the Pepsi Center, because when that music hits, you pop for Tyler Breeze, okay? How dare you not pop for Tyler Breeze?
Here's why they didn't pop for him. They literally were sitting there thinking to themselves, who's this guy coming out who looks just like Dolph Ziggler? And why is he attacking Dolph Ziggler? He literally has the same hairstyle as him.
But he's been on gimmick. Raw. He's been on Raw.
I agree. What, once or twice now?
Once. He's been on Raw once. Okay. I think.
SmackDown. He was on SmackDown. That's what it was.
He debuted on SmackDown. He's been on a couple of SmackDowns. And now he's been on a couple of Raws. He has not had a match yet on Raw. The thing about Tyler that I found interesting is that they just had him appear on SmackDown. He just debuted. There was no vignettes leading up to, you know, his debut. There was no introduction or anything. It was just, hey, look, it's Tyler Breeze, everybody. And he went after Dolph Ziggler, which he hasn't gotten a huge response. It's not like it's been dead, but it hasn't been a huge response. But I think the thing that I'm encouraged by is that they keep using him on these shows, and they've put him in a pretty strong position from a standpoint in the beginning stages of the feud with Dolph Ziggler. So it's not like they're just putting him out there and they're just going to, you know, kill him right off the bat because, oh, the crowd's not going crazy. I mean, they still don't know the backstory of Tyler Breeze because there's some people that watch NXT, but there's a lot of that audience that watches Raw that's not watching NXT.
I agree with you. And I think, again, I think there's a danger in pairing him with Dolph Ziggler right off the bat, only because they look similar. They have a somewhat similar working style. They both have a somewhat similar gimmick. I'm not saying it's one-to-one. Don't get me wrong here. But both kind of that ego-driven, the long blonde hair, the concerned about looks. I just think that this was not – I think in-ring-wise, I like it. I dig it. I think storyline-wise, it would have been better to pair him with somebody who he could stand out a little bit more. He could develop on his own and not be so compared so quickly to Dolph Ziggler. People are going to think, well, why am I ever going to care about this guy? He's just a Dolph Ziggler ripoff, really.
But I think the problem with that is they don't have enough strong baby faces right now to where you could have done that. It's like, who else were you going to put him in there with?
There you go. Yep, you're right. You're right.
And that's something that is desperately lacking right now when it comes to WWE. And we will talk a little bit about Randy Orton, too, because he's on the shelf and he's going to be there for a while. So WWE.com put out the story. We already knew that he had a shoulder injury. We didn't know the severity of it. And now we do. So the doctors have said it's not a question of if, but when he's going to dislocate his shoulder again. He has some other ligament damage, too. So he is going to need surgery imminently, as I said, and he will be sidelined for 4 to 6 months. So Randy Orton might be back, and he should be back, but it's going to be a tight deadline as long as everything goes along well in his recovery. But he won't be back until right before WrestleMania next year.
That's crazy. He just seems like he was gone for a little while. I guess filming this movie and he just came back. He's been so stop and go now for the last couple of years. It's just been hard to really buy into Randy Orton. I mean, there around 2010, 2011, he could do no wrong, right? I mean, he was on top of the world. They did that babyface switch. He had a really good run with that. And it just, he's just felt like, I don't know, an off the shelf B player because of all this. Nothing he's done. It's just, when you're not there, you're not there. People don't care about you after a while.
No, absolutely. And that's the whole thing is that, you know, out of sight, out of mind, even for Randy Orton. And, you know, it's at a time where John Cena is going to be out. He's sidelined until sometime in December. And now you've got Randy Orton sidelined. Who knows? Maybe it would have been better. Well, here's the thing. I think they look at Dolph as being a little bit more expendable. From a standpoint of a feud with Tyler Breeze, because otherwise the guy that I would think of would be Dean Ambrose. But Dean is somebody that I think they really want to push right now because Orton is out and because Cena is out, that they need a couple top baby faces. So now it's going to be Ambrose and Reigns in those roles for the time being.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And that's fine. It makes sense. But again, you're lacking a whole slew of depth of baby faces. You need more out there, just not building stars in the right way. So
let's run down Raw. Let's talk about from the beginning.
Let's run it down. Let's run it right into the ground, man. Let's just run it down.
Boom, boom. So show started. We have Roman Reigns in the ring, and he was going to cut a promo, and everybody was like, oh no, a long, boring Roman Reigns promo. And it's nothing against Roman, who I like a lot. I was hoping do not put him in this position where he has to do some long soliloquy, but they really didn't. So he was out there and he was talking about great to be the number one contender. Seth Rollins is good in the ring, but he's also good at kissing the authority's ass. And he goes, I don't like Seth Rollins. Rollins came out. They bantied back and forth. He wanted to have the match that night with Roman Reigns. The authority came out. Stephanie McMahon was a heel tonight, as was Triple H. So she teased the audience of giving them the match tonight on Raw. But, of course, that didn't happen. She says, you have to wait 2 weeks. They cackled like witches. And then they said, guess what? You guys are going to be captains of teams. And we're going to do a traditional 5-on-5 elimination Survivor Series match in the main event. So pick your teams, and we'll see what happens tonight in the main event.
I'm never a big fan of that, that whole let's come out here and advertise a match and then immediately pull it away and laugh at you all. I just don't really like that style of heel playing or that kind of making the audience that fake out. I'm just not a big fan of the fake out, but they get a little bit of cheap heat off of it. So good for them.
I guess it was funny because, I mean, we're wondering, okay, when the authority comes out, are they going to be baby faces or are they going to be heels? So tonight they were heels and, which they should be, but and they did not do a charity segment later on in the show, which is surprising. So they did stay heels as well. We got Kevin Owens taking on Dolph Ziggler in a non-title match. This is actually a really good match. They went about 11 minutes. So during the middle of the match, Tyler Breeze came out with Summer Rae. He even got the whole music and entrance and everything. So he's sitting ringside in the VIP section. And this happened twice. So when he came out, he stood there and he looked at Dolph a little bit. Dolph jawed at him and then got attacked from behind. So the announcer said, Tyler Breeze distracted him. And then at the end, Tyler Breeze stood up, took a selfie with his back to the ring. Ziggler took a swipe at him. Breeze moved out of the way. And then Ziggler turned around, pop-up powerbomb, and got pinned. And once again, the announcer said, Tyler Breeze getting involved, distracting Dolph Ziggler. He didn't distract him one time in that whole mess. All he did was look at the guy. I can't help it if Dolph Ziggler is dumb enough to take his eye off Kevin Owens. I love that they're saying, like, oh, he got distracted or, you know, he got involved in the match, you know, and it wasn't like Tyler Breeze was sitting there going, hey, Dolph, look at me, you know, or taking swipes at him or doing anything like that. But yet, you know, I guess he's the bad guy because he actually stood there, you know.
It kills me sometimes how they make, they go out of the way to make bad guys look really bad and make them look like they're doing the most devious things. When sometimes if the baby face would just act a little bit smarter, like in this case with Dolph Ziggler, not act quite so dumb, when you paint that picture too much, when you make the go out of your way to make the heel look bad, it just comes across as being cheap, and it cheapens your announced team's credibility, I think. But yeah, that's funny. That's too funny.
By the way, Monday Night Football game, you should be sweating right now.
It is
23-20 Carolina game with what about just under two minutes left to go.
And my
and the Colts have the ball.
I know, and that's why I got two screens up here right now. You don't understand, man. It's my internet's crapping out because we're doing this podcast, so I can't watch it on my computer. So if I disappear here in a little bit, it's
Andrew Luck 12 game winning drives,
and Andrew Luck has been on fire this quarter too.
He's been horrible for three quarters, and now he finally turned the switch on.
Oh my God!
So
that last one.
Ugh. Throughout the night, we did get some classic. I'm watching. So, oh, there's he's throwing deep. He's got a man open. No. So they WWE did show classic Survivor Series videos with Survivor Series coming up in the 29th anniversary of Survivor Series in 2 weeks. So they went back to 1987 where they were talking about Michael Jackson's Bad was tearing up the charts, and they showed the elimination match where Randy Savage's team beat the Honky Tonk Man's team. Backstage, Seth Rollins approached Kevin Owens, kissed up to him, and basically got him to be on his team for later on the show. We got Renee Young interviewing Becky Lynch, and Renee called them. She goes, the woman formerly known as the B in Team PCB, and Becky was like, we all know who the B is, and that's Paige. So she wasn't talking about the name Becky.
Weren't they just all celebrating together, like, just not too recently? Like, weren't they just all literally, like, 2 weeks ago celebrating together? Paige was good again.
Yeah, but Paige turned on them last week.
But she was, like, she turned on them before, and then she was good with them again.
She badmouthed them before, but last week she really turned on them because she got physical. Before, it was just a tongue-lashing.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't realize there was a big difference there.
It is when you talk about women, because, as we all know, for WWE, women are catty, okay, and they're psycho.
Oh God!
I remember that though. It's different between the women and the men. So, Brie Bella came out too. This is all backstage, and Brie.
Jesus.
What?
Sorry,
sweating, buddy. But they talked about Brie was going to be in the match later on too. Cesaro against The Miz. Cesaro section was in full force. You actually had Stardust and the Ascension once again doing the sign thing there on the crowd. So they're not even worried about Neville anymore. It's all about Cesaro. At the end of the match, Cesaro whipped Miz around in the swing about 25 times.
Yep.
And then gave the sharpshooter. The Miz had his arms all the way extended, like, ah, he was going for a ride there, buddy.
That was pretty funny. It seems like WWE's new way of building building heels or building up rivalries is by having people come out and just hang out at ringside while they're waiting. That's right. Pretty interesting. Or having a match.
So it was nice. I mean, Cesaro got a nice ovation when he came out, and crowd was into him. So then they did next was going to be the Wyatt family addressing what happened with Kane and The Undertaker, what's happened the last couple of weeks. Okay, so this got wacky, shall we say.
Yes.
So Bray Wyatt, of course, did the talking, and he said, of course, the fans witnessed us taking out The Undertaker and Kane over the last couple of weeks. He said, it was never the bodies they wanted, because bodies are temporary, and eventually they're completely useless. No, they wanted their souls, because souls live forever. And he had said that the only true soul he goes, that's only true unless the soul is consumed by a higher power. Okay. And guess what? Bray Wyatt is just like Vince McMahon from the Attitude Era. He's a higher power. Okay. I was waiting for him to, like, I wish he had a hoodie out there so he could reveal it. It was me
all along. It was me, Austin. It's been me all along.
So he said, he has stolen the thunder and lightning. And this is when the special effects happen. We got thunder and lightning, and he dubbed himself the Eater of Worlds as it continued to be thunder and lightning there in the building. And then he said, you can take your world and you can burn it straight to hell. And then he did Undertaker's pose, pyro show and everything. And then there was a Kane and Undertaker video package that played on the big screen. That did not phase one Bray Wyatt, because he then yelled, follow the buzzards. And that was that.
That lightning, man, that lightning animation, just cut that out, dude. It is just not, it's cheesy. It comes down across the screen and you see it and you're like, did they really, like back in the 90s when they did it? Okay, TV was standard definition, low res. We're watching them on VHS tapes. It's not that big of a deal. But come today, 2015, with HD TVs and all this stuff, you can't do the thunder, the lightning in the background, whatever, the sparks and the pyro, that was kind of fun, right? But having the whole little crash across the screen, the purple light, I just, oh, not good. Not
but
good.
Even with the whole, you know, HD and the way the picture looks, I mean, the whole thing is hokey. I mean, I understand what you're trying to do with Bray Wyatt. You know, you're trying to make him this kind of mysterious, weird cult figure, but do you really need to break out, you know, the pyro in that way? I mean, it makes it so cheesy and hokey that it's, I mean, that is not going to entice the audience, I don't think. So it just comes off
really weird. I think it doesn't. You know what else is going to entice the audience? The fact that Bray Wyatt hasn't won a match in about 6 years. I mean, if he's going to be a credible threat to somebody, maybe he should have a victory at some point. You know, souls are great, but so are wins. I don't know. Just my thoughts.
I don't know. Souls wins. I mean, you got to make a choice at some point, right?
Yep.
So we got the Lucha Dragons against the new tag team of Sheamus and King Barry. This is actually a really good match. It went almost 13 minutes. And guess who won? That would be the Lucha Dragons. Kalisto was on fire in this match at one point. He avoided a bullhammer, and then he got his finisher, and he got the win. So, sorry, King Barrett, but Lucha Dragons, so they're trying to build them up. You know, WWE is making a little bit of a conscious effort, I think, to try to get more of a Hispanic flavor and pushing guys. So, you know, good one. I mean, Lucha Dragons are a good team, so good win for them.
And I think it was an interesting choice here. Just because we haven't seen much of the Lucha Dragons recently, it seemed like there for a while when they first came out, they were going to be on top of the world, and they kind of played the back a little bit. So interesting choice. I think they are going after a certain demographic with this team. But again, that was an impressive win, and it was impressive. They really put it over. They put the moment over real big, and the Denver crowd was behind it.
So Zebekiah was in the back. That would be Zeb Coulter. And he was in his scooter with his flag. And guess what? Jack Swagger appearance, everybody. So Jackie Swagger was there, was talking up Zeb and what's he doing with this Mex America. And Zeb said, hey, I dream of a world where the United States and Mexico can coexist and form a great nation. And he said, I wish Canada could be involved if they weren't, I think it was self-absorbed or stupid or whatever it was. But he was talking about that. Swagger was talking about Del Rio. Del Rio came in the room and said, hey, you know what? You're looking for trouble? You're going to find it right here because I'm Alberto Del Rio. And they left the room.
Who was that?
Swagger just stood there and was like, all right.
Are they bringing Swagger back for a storyline? Are they doing something here? What's the deal?
I think so.
That's interesting because we haven't seen much of Swagger really much at all. And he had a much more mature presence in that room tonight. I would love to see them give Jack Swagger another shot, like another legitimate shot. When he came back a couple years ago with Coulter at Elimination Chamber, they really did give him a shot. I wish they would have pushed that further and not thrown him to the side so quickly, because I think he's got some money left in him.
Oh, I've been a big proponent of Jack Swagger for a long time. I know a lot of people don't like his promos and everything. I think his in-ring work is really tight. So I'm not saying he necessarily has to be world champion, but I think they could do something with that guy, and they just haven't done that so far. So you know what? You got a storyline here with Del Rio. It makes sense. Do it. You know, even if it's a short-term storyline, that's fine. So Alberto Del Rio against R-Truth. As soon as R-Truth, you came back from commercial break and R-Truth was there and he was rapping and then Del Rio's music hit, you knew what was going to happen. So short match, Del Rio got the win, did the double stomp where he had tied up R-Truth into the Tree of Woe. So that's his new finisher as he does that double stomp, which, by the way, is very similar to something we saw Sasha Banks do in her upcoming match on the show.
Yep. Interesting how that works.
Yes, and she's been doing it for a little while, too. So they were showing a video of Survivor Series 2005, Team Raw against Team SmackDown, man. That's a classic. So Seth Rollins was backstage, and he was looking to recruit some people for his team. And guess what? There was the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Big E, and they were saying, hey, man, how about you put us on your team? And Rollins is like, okay, but I still need somebody else because it's you two, me, and Kevin Owens. So they did unicorn magic, and guess what? There was a trombone playing and the return of Xavier Woods. And they started singing and dancing a little bit. And at first, Rollins didn't want to hear it, and then he got involved, and he was singing as well. And then after a few seconds, he was like, no, 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 no. And he got serious, and he walked off.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah. It was funny. It was funny.
I was fine with that. They've done that before.
I love these guys, man.
They did that before where they did a big promo with them. So are you going to be okay here? I know you're focused. You've got Monday Night Football here. And
I'm just saying, my internet's crapping out. I'm trying to do the podcast.
Andrew Luck is down on the 12-yard line with 15 seconds left to go, and his team is down by 3. They're already in field goal range, and now he is down to the 5-yard line, and we might be going to overtime here, buddy. So we got a backstage interview with Sasha Banks, of all people, where JoJo asked her if she had any anxiety about the upcoming 4-way match. Sasha said, I'm the boss. And she made fun of JoJo's attire. So we got the match, Paige, Sasha Banks, Brie Bella, and Becky Lynch. The announcers kept talking about with Becky, like if she wins, she would have to face her best friend, Charlotte, who is the Divas champion. Course. So they teased a couple of different finishes here, but in the end, Paige got the victory in a match that went about 13 minutes where she ended up getting her bank statement on, who was it, Becky? Yeah, it was Becky, and got the victory here. So it made a lot of sense it was Paige that got the win. Paige got the win with her finisher. I'm sorry. Before that, it looked like Becky was in Sasha Banks' submission hold, and she was teasing, tapping out, but it got broken up by Paige, and then Paige ended up pinning Becky Lynch and got the victory. So now she's the number one contender. And that's the way it makes a lot of sense, and maybe you can go forward now with Sasha Banks against Becky Lynch.
All right. All right. We're 3rd and 4. 9 seconds to go.
You are sweating, aren't you?
Jeez, man. Ooh. This is tense, dude.
I know.
We're on the 6-yard line. 6-yard line. So there's so many ways this could play out, but my fear is that it's going to play out the worst way possible.
All right. We'll do a little. Can't do all of
it. Oh, my gosh.
Because I think they're not allowed to do that. But Andrew Luck is trying to get his Colts into the end zone. Oh,
he's intercepted.
Oh, no, he dropped it.
No. Bull malarkey.
2 seconds left. That means Adam Vinatieri is going to be coming on for the game time field goal. And I have a feeling we're going to be going to overtime.
You know what that means, don't you? Let's end this show. Let's wrap up. And on that note,
So they did another one of the Survivor Series videos. Oh, by the way, they actually did. Byron Saxton got in the ring and did a post-match interview with Paige. And she said that everybody else is a loser. Brie is a loser. Sasha is a loser. Becky Lynch, loser. But then they did. They showed the classic Survivor Series video. It was so classic. It was from last year. And by the way, it was, if you don't remember, it was the match between Team Cena and Team Authority. And the stipulation was the Team Authority lost, then the Authority would lose power. And guess what? Dolph Ziggler won that match after he was down, I believe, 3-1 or 4-1 in that match. So the Authority lost their power for one whole week. That's right. Right. They've lost power.
I was going to say, don't bring that stipulation back up or that match back up because it didn't last long enough for it to matter.
So we got Charlotte doing a backstage interview, and she said, hey, you know what? Just because I'm Ric Flair's daughter does not mean that because that's meant I've had to work harder than everybody else, including Paige, and she'll learn the hard way when I defend my Divas Championship against her. So kind of an awkward promo. It was pretty good. I mean, at least she did not do any of the Ric Flair-isms, so give her credit for that. And they did. After that, we got ready for the main event and the return of the Usos, who have been out since earlier this year when Jay had a separated shoulder. So Roman Reigns, the Usos, Ryback, and Dean Ambrose against Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, Big E, and Xavier Woods. By the way, Xavier Woods got pinned in about 5 seconds in this match. I'm not even kidding. It was quick.
It's so sad to me because they give him, like, he's super talented on the mic and they give him lots of time. In the ring, he's pretty talented as well, especially to be as young as he is, and they cut him short all the time like that. I don't get it.
So it came down to it was Owens and Rollins against Reigns and Ambrose. And then Ambrose was able to hit his finisher on Owens and pin him. So then we had a 2-on-1 and Rollins kept trying to escape ringside. And finally got over by the timekeeper's table, grabbed a chair, and he attacked both Reigns and Ambrose and was beating him up with the chair until finally, once it got back into the ring, it was Reigns hitting a Superman punch. Rollins went flying, jumped out of the ring, and decided that he was going to hightail it to the back with his championship in tow. So it actually turned out to be a really good match. That was a 30-minute match, believe it or not. It did have the DQ finish, and I know you can make an argument about that. But I will say in this instance, I thought it made sense because while we did have Rollins and Reigns having a lot of action against one another, I think you want to save any kind of definitive finish for when they actually have the match at Survivor Series.
Yeah, and so you also did the smart thing here where you put more heat on the heel, right? The DQ finish is one thing, but then he got a lot of good offense in with the steel chair. It really earned him some jeers. And I think that makes sense as you're building towards this match, which is really a short build. We got 2 weeks. It's a short build. So I like the ending. The match was fantastic. The 5-on-5 match had a really great atmosphere. I'm not always a big fan of these mixed tags, but they really sold it well. I love the elimination aspect. I had a lot of fun with that. So, you know, hats off to everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was another good episode of Raw. I don't think it was great, but I thought it was good. And it's still a step up from what we've seen for the most part from SummerSlam up until, I think, last week. Now, I don't know how the ratings are going to reflect that. And it'll be interesting because ratings were slightly up last week, but they're still pretty low. And you've got a Monday Night Football game where the NFL is king. NFL is always going to win, but it's not marquee teams. You've got the Colts and you've got the Panthers.
Oh, undefeated Panthers until
it doesn't matter because 5 minutes from Panthers are not a franchise that, you know, you're going to get that NFL audience, but at the same time, you're not going to get this super bump. It's not like the Cowboys can be bad. People are going to watch. I mean, they get it because they're the Cowboys. Same with the Bears, same with the Packers. There's a couple of franchises that are like that. Patriots are like that now too. Peyton Manning and the Broncos, they're like that. So there's some franchises that get that and there's others that don't. I mean, the Browns, because they're in the NFL, you know, they get ratings, but they're not going to get this huge bump because they're the Cleveland Browns. You know, there are some franchises that are still like that. It doesn't mean that your Panthers are not good because obviously they are, but they're just not one of those marquee teams where they get this huge extra bump that people go out of the way to watch them.
And it's good they weren't on last night, that the WWE did not have a night or a show scheduled yesterday evening whenever you had The Walking Dead on and this huge Broncos-Green Bay matchup and everything else going on.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Are you still upset that about the big death that we had on The Walking Dead? Tabitha the goat is dead, man. Okay. They killed Tabitha.
I still think there's a chance that Tabitha could be coming back, you know? Tabitha might not actually be dead.
Why do animals
she looks like she's dead.
Here's the question I have. Why do animals not come back as zombies on Walking Dead? But humans
wouldn't
do.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be awesome?
I know, right?
All right.
I want to mention this interview this is, I did with Austin, Fox Sports. And by the way, the game is going to overtime, Chief. So
I'm watching it right now in overtime.
And the Colts have the ball first. So if they score a touchdown, game over.
I'm watching the game right now.
I know you are.
You're going to have to carry this show.
So Austin, in this interview, I talked to him a lot about the potential match against Lesnar at Mania because, you know, obviously it's been on the forefront and there's been a lot of people that wanted to see it. And he said, I'm going to be at Mania. I plan on being part of that show. I'm not going to wrestle. I'm not facing Brock Lesnar. He said he did get an itch to face Lesnar. And if he was going to come back, that would be one of the few guys. But he says, I'm not doing a Mania. He goes, I think 99.9% I've had my last match. But he did say that if I felt like it, yes, I would do it. But it would be in a dream world. And his schedule is very busy between doing his podcasts and doing the two reality TV shows he does for CMT. So I think it's one of those things where Steve does not want to have another match necessarily, but he likes just being able to have that door open in case for whatever reason he thought, what the hell, I want to have another match. But
I feel like it's not going to happen now.
Yeah, I feel like
it's not going to happen. Well, I was going to say, well, this was a chance, and I feel like it's not going to happen now. I think that was – come on, defense. I think that was my whole thing about it was this was your year. This was your year to do it.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And it sure seems like Vince McMahon was not too keen on it as well because Vince did call him, you know, after the whole, you know – podcast with Paul Heyman where Heyman asked him about it and he was just like, hey man, don't be pushing a match that's not gonna happen, you know, and it's not gonna happen. Now I did suggest to Steve a beer bash at WrestleMania and he thought that was a damn good idea. He said it was the best idea he's heard so far. So you're welcome once again, free ideas.
Are we invited to the beer bash?
We will be. I mean, everybody there in attendance is going to be part of this beer.
No, but I want to be like having beers with Stone Cold.
I want to be the guy that tosses the beers to Stone Cold.
This is okay. So I'm going to break kayfabe here for a minute.
Okay.
Before we were doing video, this is what I would do. I would sit back with my microphone in my lap and just talk to you. This is video screws up everything. I can't just be relaxed. I got to be on. I got to be like, hello, this is wrestling stuff. But like beforehand.
Yeah, I know you're preoccupied here. So yeah.
I'm just saying this is the mojo right here, just sitting back, chatting a little bit of wrestling, you in my ear. This is what you get when you watch us on video, breaking the fourth wall.
I did want to bring up one other thing that Austin said and something I've harped on so many different times here on the podcast. So he was talking about the booking for WWE right now. And he said that sometimes I find it hard to watch when it comes to Raw, but I wish the best for all the guys and girls. And I look forward to a little bit more simplistic booking and not 50-50 booking, but booking where wins and losses do matter. And he did talk about, he said at one point, you're damn right, wins and losses matter in any sports endeavor you can imagine, and they sure as hell matter in pro wrestling. So, hey, you know what? That old secret about wins and losses don't really matter in wrestling? Malarkey, like I've said plenty of times. Wins and losses do matter. They damn well, they matter a lot. And that's something that is an effective tool to get people over. And hopefully WWE and other places too will recognize that. I think Ring of Honor does a good job of that. I think Japan does a good job of that.
Yep.
But WWE and TNA, for whatever reason, don't always.
Well,
look at that stretch between, what was it, SummerSlam and Night of Champions for Seth Rollins. I mean, Hell in a Cell, actually. There was a crazy stretch there where if you count even house show matches, I think he had like 21 matches, and I think he won two of them.
Yeah, that seems about right. Yeah, he didn't win very many matches. And my whole thing is wins and losses don't matter if professional wrestling is just performance art, which it is to a certain extent. But there's this athleticism and the sport aspect to it that I think really means that wins and losses have to matter for fans to take the wins and losses seriously. What are the matches? Why even have the matches if who wins doesn't matter? Why should we care? Why should we be invested in DQ finishes?
By the way, I know somebody, James, in the chat room was talking about how Sting came in last year at Survivor Series and stopped the Authority. So, yes, we did get Sting in last year's show. But, I mean, that stipulation that they had last year, the Authority lost power for a whole week. And that was it, a whole week. So, hope you don't do that stipulation anytime soon. If you want to check us out on Facebook, please do go to Between the Ropes or facebook.com/Between the Ropes. You can always leave questions there as well. And of course, you can check us out online. It's at betweentheropes.com. If you have any questions right now, feel free to drop them into the chat room here as you're watching on YouTube. In the meantime, let me go to the Facebook page and we'll see what questions we have there. Also, you can follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. So I'm trying to do all this without you, Michael, because
you're you're a one-man wrecking crew. You got this.
You are pretty preoccupied.
I'll give you my answers, but this game in overtime, whew, it's a barn burner.
Let's see. Francis asked us, what do you think we will see Del Rio? Do you think we'll see Del Rio in the world title picture before WrestleMania? I don't think so. I mean, I think they've got a game plan for that right now. I think he's going to be in the U.S. title picture, and obviously he's the U.S. champion right now. I don't think that they're going to do anything with Del Rio for the world title until maybe next summer, but I don't think it makes sense to put him in the world title picture right now.
Yeah, I think that they're trying to give something to this United States championship and make it something different, and I think this is their way of doing that, by giving it to Alberto Del Rio. It's already got a lot of prestige from being on John Cena's waist all year. So let's take it to the next level, give it to somebody new. Del Rio is a perfect guy for this, a former main eventer who's got a lot of credibility, who can hold on to that belt and still make it the working man's belt. Del Rio is going to be wrestling on every major show. He's going to be out there every week. So it seemed like that's a good path, and I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he holds onto this belt for a few months and we don't see a rematch with John Cena before it's all said and done.
By the way, did you get a chance to watch the first episode of Breaking Ground?
No, I have not.
You should go out of your way to watch that show.
I'm dying to, man. In fact, I was going to watch it tonight, but then we had to do the podcast. And...
Oh, well, excuse me. So we do have Survivor Series coming up in a couple of weeks, though. So we officially have Seth Rollins against Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight Championship. And we have Charlotte defending the Divas Championship against Paige. So what other matches do you think we could get on that show? If I had to guess,
Del Rio Jack Swagger,
we could get that. Because Del Rio, I don't think they would put him in a Survivor Series 5-on-5 or 4-on-4 elimination match. They could still do that with the women. I guess they could. I don't think they will. I mean, I think we could see Becky Lynch against Sasha Banks. But I think we'll get at least maybe. I think we'll get at least two of the classic Survivor Series matches, the elimination style matches. If that makes any sense.
Did he hold on to that? Oh, whew. Yep. Okay. Sorry.
But I think we'll get that. But I'm not exactly sure. Like, I mean, I think Del Rio would defend the U.S. title. I don't know if Kevin Owens is going to defend the Intercontinental Championship on that show.
I don't know where you'd put him or who his opponent would be. I guess that would be my thing, is who do you feed him?
I think what you do is you put him in one of these elimination matches, and then past that, he feuds with Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
And same with like Ziggler and Tyler Breeze. They'll be in the elimination style match.
God.
Your boy dropped the pass. Sorry, Ted Ginn Jr.
He had the ball in his hands. It was going deep. If he would have just held on to it, it would have been the win. Look at this. You got to hold on to that crap.
The team's losing right now in overtime.
Oh, my gosh.
The team is losing, man. Sweating to the oldies over here. Sweating to the oldies. But I think what we're going to see is, like I said, the two matches they've already announced. I think we can get the U.S. title match. I think we can get another women's match. And then I think we'll see two elimination style matches. One of them, obviously, would be the Wyatts against Taker and Kane involved. And I think that will be a 4-on-4 match. I don't think they're going to do like just a regular tag team match with the other members of the Wyatt family like around a ringside. I think they got to do a true 4-on-4 match, and then you get another one.
I think so.
And they don't have to have, you know, 8 matches on the show, because if they do the elimination style matches, those can go on longer, obviously. So, and I think Reigns against Rollins, they can give them some time. They can go 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah. And so you have, that's the advantage of, I think the 4-on-4 match, you also get a little bit of extra legroom out of Taker and Kane, who can't necessarily maybe carry that long of a match by themselves. But yeah, it gives, you know, Rollins and Reigns a little bit of time to work too.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. You know, I assume that Taker and Kane are going to be on the show on Raw next week, so we'll see exactly what happens with them. See exactly how they book these guys and how much more Taker do we get, you know, before WrestleMania next year. I expect him to be at WrestleMania. I think he could actually be, you know, wrestling every pay-per-view between now and Mania, in fact. So it's crazy to think that Taker, who, you know, over a 2-year period, we basically only saw him once, you know, at a WrestleMania, and now we're getting him, you know, a bunch of different times. I mean, he did the house shows in Mexico, even though they're tag team matches, and obviously he did SummerSlam and he did Hell in a Cell. So we are getting a lot of Taker at this stage in his career.
I mean, we're assuming this is his last ride. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Let him go out with a bang. Let him have this last great run. Gets a team up with Kane.
There's your boy, Ted Ginn Jr.
Gets a team up with Kane. Yeah, I know, man. This is woo. But he's getting to do some of those things, hit the high spots. It's kind of like a greatest hits, right? We got this feud with Brock Lesnar, going to team up with Kane, and then whatever they have for him at WrestleMania, kind of building up to that. So maybe it's another match against Kane at some point. I don't know, but I'm looking forward to it. Should be a fun run with Taker.
Yeah.
And he'll, of course, be going to the Hall of Fame, of course, I think, headline next year.
Right. And I think he could as well, you know. It makes a lot of sense if they put him in the Hall of Fame there. So, but on that note, we're going to wrap it up. I know that we got to let Michael watch his football game. He's freaking out here. We've talked about Raw. I'll be back later in the week with another podcast. And of course, you can check out the podcast I did with Stone Cold Steve Austin, an hour-long conversation with Steve, talking about a lot of different stuff. And I think you'll really enjoy the conversation I had with Steve. So check that out, whether you go to BetweenTheRopes.com or you can just go to SoundCloud.com/BetweenTheRopes. You can check it out there. And, of course, again, thank you to everybody that's supporting us on Patreon. All the pledges there, we deeply appreciate it. And if you haven't done it yet, and if you can do it, please go to Patreon.com/BetweenTheRopes and please support us there. So we will be back next Monday night following Raw. And, of course, we'll have some more podcasts later during the week, just the audio only version. Of course, you can find our podcast on iTunes or on Stitcher, as well as the Downcast app and on TuneIn as well. So for Michael Wiseman, who is sweating a bullet right now watching his Carolina Panthers, I'm Brian Fritz. We'll talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.